Number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking a little Vanderbilt football, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Robbie Weinstein from 24/7 Sports. Robbie, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. I'm excited for football season. I found myself watching some Olympic powerlifting yesterday. It's so boring. I think I realized, like, wow, we really need football to get here. If you're watching powerlifting, that's not a good sign.
I don't know that I've made it to the powerlifting part of this yet, Joe.
Nor have I. But there are a lot of good Olympic sports we can all agree on, right? Like badminton, which is awesome.
Rock climbing.
Rock climbing is pretty sweet.
Rock climbing was pretty sweet.
Have you seen that, Robbie?
I haven't. I've missed that.
That's kind of cool.
The extreme rock climbing is unbelievable.
Yeah, I've been enjoying, you know, the beach volleyball with that view of the Eiffel Tower and all that. So I like the variety, but I guess I got to draw the line at powerlifting.
It's probably fair. So, Robert, we've talked a lot about this Vanderbilt team heading into the year. Quarterback has obviously been a position under Clark Lea where they've really struggled to develop any sort of consistency. How do you view that position heading into this season, and do you feel like the options are there for them to make some progress in that area and find a quarterback that gives them a consistent level play? How do you view quarterback for Vanderbilt heading into this year?
I think at least it's going to fit better with what they want to do. Like last year, they're not going to have anybody like AJ Swan, who last year, honestly, I mean, he has a really good arm. The decision-making wasn't there. But I think it was just very clear with how limited their offensive line is that they were going to need a quarterback who can run and a system that caters to a running quarterback. And so either Diego Pavia or Nate Johnson, I mean, they're both good runners. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be bombing the ball deep and really have a great passing offense. But I do think, you know, it'll probably be Pavia who ends up being the starter, and he ran for almost 1,000 yards last season at New Mexico State. So I don't know that their passing game is not going to have a high ceiling, I don't think. But if they can, they're focused on trying to turn the ball over less, and at least, you know, it could be a little bit irritating for opposing defenses, I suppose, when you have to fully defend whichever quarterback ends up being the starter in terms of their legs, because both those guys are very good runners.
So, yeah, so I've kind of assumed Pavia would be the guy, but Nate Johnson is an intriguing prospect too. Like you said, we're going to see a lot of QB run stuff. What else? And obviously, Clark Lea fell in love with his Tim Beck offense and a lot of what was going on at New Mexico State. How would you describe it to fans? Like, what stands out about this offense? They went into Auburn last year and hammered them. What about this offense is unique or special?
Yeah, they're going to use a ton of motion, and I think it's a little bit similar to Jamie Chadwell's spread option offense, but just a little less weird, a little bit less triple option-y, where they're going to use a ton of pre-snap motion. There are going to be lots of ball fakes and play action. Another odd thing that they're doing is that they are not doing left and right tackles and guards. So they're going to do like strong side, weak side, or they call them strong and quick guards and tackles, where they're going to flip sides depending on which hash the ball is placed on. I don't really know whether that's going to work or not, but it's definitely weird and unusual. I think Lamar Jackson's Louisville teams were the last like notable Power 5 team to use that, which I think actually Vandy's O-line coach was there during that period. But like, you know, so I don't know whether any of this is going to work, to be honest with you. I think this is one of the most difficult Power 4 teams to project because of all the scheme changes and how many transfers they brought in that are going to contribute. But it's definitely going to be weird. They're going to lean into the ground game. I think I would expect that they probably run the ball on like 60% of plays. And so it's definitely going to be different by SEC standards, if nothing else.
So, yeah, well, and that's – I mean, I love that Chadwell offense. I mean, when it gets cooking, I love it. I think we've talked about this before, but I've always – thought that like something like that would be a good idea for Vanderbilt. Whether not necessarily going all the way to the option, but having a different kind of offense to hopefully make up for the talent gap, right, in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like if it works well, this could kind of do that?
Yeah, we'll see if they have the players to do it. But I agree with you. I mean, I think that I get the theory because I do think Vanderbilt should try to win through differentiation, because if it's a pure talent, I mean, like, recently, the last few years, they've just been running a very typical pro spread offense. And really, that the only time that they went away from that at all was during that 5-7 season when Mike Wright was the quarterback and they were running it a lot. And they occasionally, at least in practice, I don't know that they did it a lot in games, they would have a couple triple option type of plays where they would put multiple running backs in the backfield. And what do you know? I mean, that's the one year out of his three so far where they actually had some modicum of success. When Lee took over in, I guess it was December 2020/January 2021, he talked about wanting to have tons of pre-snap movement and try to distract opposing defenders and all that sort of stuff. And then they just never really went with an offense that actually did that. So I think they're getting back to something that they really should have been doing, or at least something closer to this the entire time. Time will tell whether – I don't really know if they're going to have, like, the straight players and the talent, especially against the schedule this season, to be able to, like, go to a bowl game or anything like that. But I think that in terms of the process, this looks a lot more like an offense that I personally would prescribe to a program like Vanderbilt.
Robbie Weinstein with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So looking at the defensive side of the ball, we know that Clark Lee going to have his hands all over that this year, taking on the defensive coordinator role in addition to being the head coach. From a talent standpoint, from a depth standpoint, and with him taking over the reins as the defensive coordinator, how much improvement do you expect on that side of the ball this year? How equipped do you think they are to take a big step forward defensively?
Yeah, so I think the offense has a lot of questions with talent, but I think the defense actually could be pretty competitive, and part of that is the coordinator switch. I mean, Clark Lee was pretty much a consensus top 10 defensive coordinator in college football when he was at Notre Dame. Now, I think it's fair to question whether he will still be that a few years later when he hasn't done the job in a while, and, well, he's also got all these extra responsibilities now as head coach of the team. But I do think that for sure the play calling and all that sort of stuff is going to be better now that he's in charge. They've also added a lot more depth, I think, specifically on the defensive line, and they should be better against the run game. They're pretty strong up the middle of the defense. Like, Langston Patterson, I think, could push for all SEC honors. C.J. Taylor at safety, and Dericky Wright coming back after he had committed to Texas A&M originally as a transfer. They've got some pieces. I do have a lot of questions at corner, because Marlon Jones Jr. and Mark Davis Jr., who are two notable transfers who they brought in. Jones has a serious illness and is going to miss the season, and then Davis is injured right now, and his status is a little bit unclear. I don't really expect him to play anytime soon, if at all. So between that and kind of question marks on the edge in terms of pass rush, I think there are still some concerns. But overall, like, depth-wise, I think they really improved through the transfer portal. And as a result, when you combine that with Lee calling the defense now, I think they actually could, you know, at least be in the top 50 nationally in defenses. But again, I think it's worth considering, hey, that sounds great on paper, but with this league and how stacked it is, especially with Texas coming in and being on the schedule for Vandy, you know, you could be in the top 50 or the back half of the top 50 defensively in the entire country and still be like 14th in the SEC.
What's your sense, Robbie, in terms of fan base? And I know it's two different things, but just fan base and administration, and how people are feeling about Clark Lee. Obviously, big changes this offseason, interesting changes. I think they had to change some things, right? But where do you sense people are just on Clark and where he is in terms of, you know, trying to really, I think, solidify himself at this point?
I think there's a divide between fans and what I view as the administration's likely viewpoint, because fans, I think, just see, like, hey, there hasn't really been any progress, and the staff choices have been pretty terrible, to be honest, for the most part. The first staff was pretty good, and then they had some brain drain where a lot of guys got picked off by bigger programs, and some of the hiring decisions by Lee weren't very good, and here they are going 2-10 in the third season. But to me, I think the way that administration likely views it is that they did not give him the resources the first few years to be able to succeed, specifically the NIL setup and the effort put in by admin, because it's not just the coaching staff who needs to be dealing with that stuff. I mean, it was pretty brutal. They just didn't have any money at all. And I think good NIL does not guarantee success, but bad NIL probably guarantees failure. And so that was a big part of the issues over the last couple of years. The facilities are also coming along, I suppose. But to me, I think that probably administration wants to give him a long leash. He had that contract extension a couple of years ago, which now looks pretty bad. And at least, you know, maybe if you're them, you probably say, well, let's see what he can do now that he actually has the money to throw around in the transfer portal. Whereas fans, I think, you know, understandably are pretty pessimistic.
Well, Robbie, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Robbie Weinstein from 24/7 Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rexor. We'll take your thoughts on what he had to say. Also get into a Will Levis, Calvin Ridley discussion up next. Is the Will Levis, Calvin Ridley connection going to define Levis's tenure as Titans quarterback? We'll get into that coming up next. Get half off to this family-owned Chicago restaurant right here in Nashville. Winners of numerous Best Of awards. This is truly one of the best-kept secrets in Nashville. Staley Chicago Italian Dining brings amazing Italian food to the South, including original Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago Chicago-style hot dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.